Let's make our confession together. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before you, before we read the verses here, I want to ask you to think about something. If you begin to just think about some of your greatest memories, I mean, the things that come to mind that you would say, this memory brings me the most joy right here. And maybe it was some special event. Maybe it was some, you know, milestone, some anniversary, some, you know, something that maybe some surprise. It may have been nothing out of the ordinary, but it means something special to you. All right. How many of you have something you would say, man, I have a good memory. I've got some good memories. I have at least a couple here. I can think of something that it brings me joy. All right. Now, having asked about the memories, let me ask you this. How many of those experiences were shared with someone or with other people? Probably a number of them, because we are relational beings. God created us for relationship with himself and with one another. In fact, if you want to just write this reference down before we read Ephesians, it's Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. So before sin, I mean, it was paradise and all that, but God said, I'm creating you for relationships, for with relationship with me and with one another. And I can tell you, I know, I like my times of solitude. I'm a little more of the, you know, kind of the introvert typically than maybe many people. But I remember the first time I went to the Holy Land, I went by myself and I didn't know anyone. And I was, when we finally landed and, you know, they roomed me with someone. I was in a hotel with somebody. I didn't know him. He was out from the Midwest and I heard him on the phone. He had a phone. He was calling, I don't know if his wife or somebody, and he was talking about how he felt like he was having a panic attack. And I was thinking, I'm on the other side of the planet and I'm in here in a hotel room with somebody I don't know and they're having a panic attack. I think I'm about ready to have one. I'm about nine. Should I go to sleep here or what? But anyway, you know, we had a great time but I realized, certainly I knew it beforehand, but over there, you know, I was seeing things. It was like, I knew once we got into a few days into the trip that I would never read the Bible the same again. Because, you know, it wasn't like, you know, I could read something about the Sea of Galilee, and I'm here at the Sea of Galilee. I have an idea what it looks like. This Jesus walked on this, you know, and there were the boats and everything. And so I was calling. We didn't have cell phones back then, or at least I didn't. And so I was trying to get a phone and call collect and just stuff or whatever. I don't even remember how I did it. But when we got home, I had a $300 telephone bill. Because I wanted to share my experience with someone. And so God has just created us that way, that even if you're not, you know, with somebody you share, it's like you want to share it with someone. Because God created us relational beings, and I would word it like this, we're created for community. We're created for community. And that's the thought I just want to spend a few moments on this morning, this scriptural truth, that we are created for community. Don't we all want to feel like we belong somewhere? I mean, there's just that sense of, man, I want to feel like I belong, you know, to this, you know, someone or somehow, like I fit in. And of course, you know the account of how our ancestors chose to rebel against God and his authority. And when they did, they broke God's commandments, sin entered the human family, and it separated us from the God who is holy. But it also damaged our relationships with one another because right off the bat, there was tension between Adam and Eve. As they were trying to blame each other and blame the devil and everything going on, right off the bat in that first moment of sin, that was a kind of the fruit, if you want to say it that way, of evil fruit of being separated from God. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God that even though our sin separated us from God, He is holy, He is just, He punishes sin, but He is merciful and He is love. And brothers and sisters, God punished Jesus with our sin for our faults so that we could be restored into right relationship with God and have grace for our relationships with one another. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll begin reading in verse 1 and just read a few verses. The Bible says this, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, "And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." The Bible considers a state of being separated from God. It says it's spiritual death. So someone who doesn't know the Lord, it's not just that I have this intellectual, barrier or whatever. No, we're outside of Christ and we're outside of spiritual life. So we're considered dead spiritually because we're away from the source of life. But verse 4 says this, Ephesians 2:4, "But God," I love those words, "but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved." Thank God. So when we come to that place where God's Spirit brings us to that awareness, He convicts us, yes, I need Jesus, I've sinned, I don't believe in Him. And He draws us basically from our way, because the Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. But when we turn to Jesus in faith and trust Him that He really is the sinless Son of God, He really died for my sins. He was buried and He came back to life and He's ascended on high now. And we believe Him as Lord. We are forgiven, given a brand new beginning. God's Holy Spirit indwells us and He makes us part of a new covenant community, the church. We're created for community. Would you say that with me? We're created for community. Notice what the Bible says in verse 19, still Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19 says, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household or the family of God." Created for community. And I looked the word up. I wanted to find out what community actually means. It's interesting how Merriam-Webster's online dictionary defined it to me. It says community is a body, let me read it to you. It's a unified body of individuals, a unified body of individuals. It was interesting that they used the word body and not group, a unified body of individuals. So the church, as the new covenant community, is to be a unified body of individuals. You say, well, what unites the church? We are united by the indwelling presence of God's Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus as Lord. What unites us is we believe God. We believe the testimony of Scripture. And it's been from the start, Satan has tried to cast doubt on God's word. And so now we've come to a place, sadly, in our day where pastors and those who serve in ministry don't even believe that this is the inspired truth of God to live by. So how in the world is the church going to believe? It's either the word of God or it isn't. And if it's not, then who has the authority to tell us what is truth? It is God's word. It is true. And no human, no pastor, no society has the authority to change God's word. And it doesn't matter who, we don't have to be harsh. We're to speak it in love, but we still speak the truth. We side with truth. We just side with truth in love. And thank God. Thank God for your heart, for the Lord, and for His will and purpose. If we don't build our lives on truth, we're going to build on deception, and it's all going to crumble in time when the storms of life hit. We believe the Word of God. We're created for community. Would you turn to someone next to you and tell them we're created for community? A unified body of believers. I want to show you a picture here. Have you ever heard, some of you may be familiar with Stirling Castle over in Scotland. It's S-T-I-R. I want to show you a picture. This is the outside of a church from the outside. From what I understand, this is right adjacent to Stirling Castle. I want to tell you the name of this church, all right? It's kind of funny. The church is actually called the Church of the Holy Rood. The Church of the Holy Rood. You can go there to this day. But now, hold on a second. In fairness, rood is an old English equivalent of cross. So it's like saying the Church of the Holy Cross. But, hold on. Will you show the inside? Because it's not there now. You see the inside, big church. In 1656, the Reverend James Guthrie and a colleague disagreed about how the worship services should be conducted. So let me tell you how they solved their disagreement. They built a physical wall inside of this church to separate the congregants, and it stood for almost 300 years. Now, of course, we're too sophisticated and we're too spiritual to build walls or physical walls. Isn't that something? Did they have community? Were they a united body of individuals? No, and see, when that happens, then we're not as effective for the Lord. So I want to just share a couple of truths here with you based on the scripture that I believe there are requirements for community. God's way. Number one is community requires humility. Community requires humility. And I'll read a few verses to you. If you're there in Ephesians 2, we'll read a few of them over in Ephesians chapter 4. Community requires humility. Now, just to make sure, humility is not degrading yourself, all right? Someone said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's just thinking of yourself less. So humility is not degrading yourself. Humility is considering others. Humility is considering others. And the Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness or humility and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see how humility is required in order for us to be able to get along, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Thank God I asked you earlier about relationships, some of those precious memories, but let's also be honest, those relationships are the two-edged sword, aren't they? They can be challenging. They can be a source of grief and sorrow. But we don't want to give up on relationships. We just want to do them God's way. So we're created for community, and community requires humility. If you want to write this scripture down, it's Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10 says, by pride comes nothing but strife. Pride fuels contention. Pride fuels strife because pride is self-focused. It's self-pleasing. I've got to look out for myself, and that always is going to cause problems because we have 6 billion other people on the planet who might be doing the same thing, and we're going to bump up against each other. I was reading a statistic just recently, probably about 2 weeks ago. Let me give you the names of the men, Gabe Lyons and Dave Kinneman. They conducted research. Listen to this. This is how I know that when I say the world, I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about just pride and greed and immorality, that type of a heart, how much it can even influence the church. 66% of regular church attenders, not of Americans, not of those who say they're Christian, but they don't go to church. Regular church attenders say this in this survey, enjoying yourself is the highest goal of life. Enjoying yourself, that's the highest goal of life from church attenders. So if that's, but see, if everybody has that mentality, do you see how it's going to kind of bring division rather than community? Now, is there a place for individualism and we're unique individuals? Yes, but working together. So we've magnified individualism to a degree that's not in harmony with God's word. And as a result, it competes with our willingness to work together, like the scripture said, endeavoring to keep and protect the unity of the Spirit. It competes with our desire to work things out. It competes with our sense of community and family and working together because it's about me and I just got to please myself. But you know what I found? If we really live that way, most people, you see, when people really make it about themselves, see how little joy they really have. We're created for community. We can't change God's design. We're created for community. And then I like the idea that says we focus on the we and not just the me. I'm a part, but we focus on the we for a greater good. God has a purpose and call for our lives, and I really believe, I even read about it in the young people today, they're called the moderns, that they really want to give themselves to a cause. It's like they want to live for something. I got some news. I've got a cause you can give yourself to. It's the kingdom of God. It's Jesus and his will for your life. Created for community. Would you say community? Requires humility. And then let me give you the second one. Community requires ministry. Community requires humility, and community requires ministry. Again, I'll read a few verses here from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11 in just a moment. Again, I'll say it if you're writing the reference down. Thank God for relationships. We're relational beings. Thank God for community, but relationships can be challenging. They do require work, but because we love and because they're important to us, the relationship is important, we're willing to work. We're willing to work things out and work together so that we can be effective for the Lord. The Bible says this in verse 11, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, that Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, let me pause there just a second. Some people call them the fivefold ministry. I understand, and people even like it, you know, to your hand. Really, pastor and teacher go together. I think it's four, but I understand the apostle, if you think about it like your hand, the thumb touches the others, the apostle touches the other ministries. The pointer finger is like the prophet. And then the evangelist is like drawing people, calling people in, pastor associated with the ring, you know, the covenant and so forth. And then the teacher is the one who can dig in and get all the little good stuff out. All right. That's Jesus gave giftings. And he says in that next verse, for the equipping of the saints. Notice what he says is verse 12. He says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So the Lord gives gifts so the people of God can be equipped, so that we can be prepared, and so we can receive training that we go out and do the work of the ministry. And the body is built up. Ministry just means serving. If you want to be in the ministry, serve. Is the ministry is serving. But when we serve, it fuels and it creates and it promotes community. We can't have community really according to the scripture here, because notice what it says in the next verse. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 says, till we all come. Would you say all?
All.
Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. It's about getting to know him better. The knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect, that word just simply means mature. It's someone who is full grown to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, when we're serving, when every part is doing its share, it's ministry and the entire body of Christ is built up. Brothers and sisters, if you know the Lord, you have a call of ministry on your life. You're important and you have a place in the community of faith We're created for community. But community requires humility, and then community requires ministry. It's serving till we all come to the unity of the faith. You know what I've found? It's been incentive for me. I can tell you this. Because I'm involved in ministry, there is some incentive to want to grow in Christ's likeness. And I'm not saying you have to be in ministry per se for that to happen. I believe it could be in any believer. But again, you don't have to be behind a pulpit to be a minister. Whatever you do to the glory of God is a ministry. Everything is designed to be worship and service to the Lord. So thank God, but we've got to be equipped. And we're sent out to be the ambassadors for Jesus. Here's a brother here. His ministry is cleaning up my teeth. Cleaning our teeth. Mechanics, the office workers. I mean, Jesus sends us out as his lights throughout the world. And his salt to flavor so that others can taste and see that the Lord is good. Created for community requires ministry. So we come together and we serve. And I can, again, man, there are times when you just go through, maybe you have a little tension with someone. There's incentive to work it out. But then when we do, we grow more in Christ. Ultimately, that's God's desire for every one of his sons and daughters, that we grow in Christ's likeness. And it's serving that helps us. It's like feeding and exercising our faith. But the thing is, if we're willing to do it God's way, then he'll use us so we can be effective in ministry. It's not just about us. It's about everyone. That's the whole idea of community. And we want others to be a part. If you want to write this scripture down, let me read it to you. It's Matthew chapter. I'll close here in Ephesians in just a moment. But Matthew chapter 4, I want to read two verses to you. Matthew chapter number 4, verses 21 and 22. Matthew 4, 21, it's on the screen. It says, going on from there, Jesus saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father. Notice that word, mending. Would you say mending? Mending their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and the father and followed Jesus. That word mending, if you look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 12, and it says he gave for the equipping of the saints, it's the same word. It's the same word. Brothers and sisters, Jesus wants us to gather together with him in such a way that if we feel like we've been ripped apart by the world and we've been damaged and we're torn and we're hurting, that when we come together, we're mended so that we can be resent to worship and serve him in our worlds. That's why right before that, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Mended. So when we come together, man, we don't want to just have a religious service. We want to meet with God. And we want to be mended if we're hurting. And that's ministry. And then we can go out and be more effective for him. We're created for community. Let me give you a scripture here if you want to write this down. In fact, I turn the TV on. I try to catch a couple of pastors on Sunday mornings before church. One of them I try to catch sometime is Dr. Tony Evans. Another is Jensen Franklin. But Tony Evans was talking this morning, and I happened to come in, and he said, the New Testament knows nothing of unchurched Christians. God designed us to be a part of the covenant community in the local church. I can tell you, I thank God for a brother who invited me to serve in a local church. I don't think I'd have done it on my own. I was too shy. I don't speak in front of crowds. But God said different. But all it took was the opportunity to serve. And I was so nervous. Some of you know this. Honestly, I was so nervous. I was the pastor's son and I, he invited me to share a little something on a watch night service, New Year's Eve, you know, praying in the new year or whatever. He was going to share a little something. Honestly, here's what I did. I listened to a Chuck Smith cassette tape because I used to listen to him, the word for today. I wrote notes on it and got up, read it off. My first message. and my stomach was so upset, I went home and physically threw up. But that was my start. And here I am now. I can tell you, certainly I'm still in process, aren't we all? But I know that my life would not, I could be a Christian, but I know that my life would not have the fruit that God had ordained for His glory if I had not started serving. We're created for community, humility, and ministry. There's something about just humbling ourselves before God, before others, and serving that does something within us. It produces more joy, a sense of fulfillment that pride and selfishness can never know. Created for community. Let me read this scripture to you. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Two last scriptures. Here's one. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. The Bible says this. Just as our bodies have many parts, and notice this, and each part has a special function. Would you turn to someone next to you and tell them, you've got a special function? He says, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Brothers and sisters, we're created for community. We find out what our special function is by serving, not by just sitting back and doing nothing. We may never know what it is, but if you just start, then God will guide you. He'll put things in your heart as you just follow Him. It's just being willing to serve. And then finally, John chapter 15. Let me read this to you. John chapter 15 from the words of Jesus. John chapter 15 and verse 5. Because God designed us to be in close fellowship with Himself, close fellowship with one another. And it's this strong connection is how we bear fruit. This is what Jesus said. John chapter 15 and verse 5. Jesus said, I am the vine. And notice this. You, not just you, one individual. You, plural, are the branches. I'm the source here. So you've got to stay close fellowship with me. But you're the branches. You got to stay connected to the branches. Close and godly fellowship with one another. How many of us could say today, because of their church family, because of godly friends and godly family members, I know God has encouraged me and given me grace in dealing with my other relationships outside of Christ. Thank God. Thank God for the covenant community of the church. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God. And we go through those seasons that we don't have to face it alone. We can have God's grace and we can have encouragement and support from one another and then be there for them when they are in need. That's mending. It's mending. So He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. And He continues on in that same verse and He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides, stays in close fellowship with me and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. It is God's will for us to bear fruit and to bear much fruit to the glory of God, but we've got to stay connected. We've got to have a strong connection. We are created for community. Will you say it with me? We are created for community. And I just want to close with this. Just ask you to think about it between you and the Lord. Is there, whether maybe it's a family relationship, maybe it's in the church family, how can you apply this truth today to say, Lord, I need to embrace humility, willing to serve. The work of ministry is serving. So I can't just come here and serve, you know, like in front of people for the show and then not be willing to go home and be willing to have a part to serve there in the family. We all have a part. Created for community. Relationships done God's way will bear fruit and give Him glory. Can we stand together as we close in prayer?